was going to do a checker.
Check, check. 1, 2, 3.
You are at 100%, my friend. Good morning, Mike Diesel.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. And all the ships at sea.
It's FDR.
Planes in the air and vehicles on the ground. I come to you this morning with a dire warning that if you eat a moose turd in the morning, I guarantee the rest of your day will be filled with happiness.
Good.
Now we have to issue a special salute this morning, I believe, to Senator Jeff Flake.
Thank you, Senator Flake. Thank you for voting for the Republican agenda 100% of the time.
Yeah, but still, okay. Here's a guy that should have showed up at our cafe yesterday.
Yes.
You know, he might have made it through without resigning, okay? But as a result, but he didn't, okay? You know.
Well, I mean, he hasn't resigned. He just will not run.
Yeah,
he's cornered. He's cornered in his state.
His
popularity. His popularity is. he's seen the numbers, and they're not good, honestly. But I do feel that very much like someone who has no more F's to give. He is perfectly willing to speak his mind, and I think that we need to have more senators who are running speak their mind, because I am tired of the bullshit of these guys saying, well, you know, behind closed doors, these guys really are scared.
Yeah.
And they really kind of say the same stuff.
Right.
Behind closed doors. Well, get out.
In front of the closed doors,
you assholes.
But look what it shows, you know? I mean, I think it shows that this thing we said yesterday, I believe we said it yesterday, is that you can't run as a Republican and not be a lying sack of shit. You can't. They have you tied up in 40,000 knots between the donors and the this and the that and the discipline and thou shalt not criticize. I mean, regardless of what Trump's doing.
Don't think I'm going to get it done in fucking Deutschland. What?
You know, it's like John P. Kelly. How could a man be go so low as to dishonor his own son's death? Well, I'll tell you. You know, if you're going to work for Trump, or if you're going to be part of this monstrous thing that has happened, you're going to be a lion sack of shit.
Well, we have echoed the sentiments for a very long time on this show or podcast or whatever in the internet file of digital recordings that David K. Johnston has constantly been on this for the last 15 years. The guy who currently occupies the White House creates his own reality. He's been used to that for a very long time. And he, you know, uses inflammatory comments. He engages in pettiness, and you know, I'm a barely working stand-up comic / actor who's kind of pulled away from that whole business to concentrate on other things. But above and beyond that, I'm not responsible for being the leader of the free world, as you know, people would put in quotes. But you know, I can engage in statements of fantasy, and much in many cases, to the delight of my audience.
Well, that's true. I mean, you're drafting a scenario to which they can relate. You know, okay.
Well, listen, I had a conversation with my dragon last night. Okay.
Uh oh.
Yeah, and
that's Marcus not usually good.
Marcus is quite concerned. He has some. He has some issues. He's concerned. He's concerned about. These are, you know, despite what people think about the angry, you know, fire breathing, blah blah blah. I mean, Marcus is a very sensitive creature.
You mean he only what? I mean, he burns things and then feels bad about it, or what? I mean,
No, he only burns things that are necessary.
Oh, he's an economist.
Yes, very much so. Yes. In fact, he's quite frugal with his flame.
I see. I see. Okay.
You know, he doesn't want to come right out and say he's going to go get his entire tribe of other dragons and burn up the world, but certainly the threat is there.
Hey, by the way, I named yesterday's episode No Live Frogs. Talking about the tax thing, you know. Here at the cafe, we have temporarily refuted Emil Zola's, you know, famous defense of how come he put up with such abuse every freaking day in the newspapers because he was defending the Jew Dreyfus, you know. And he said, I swallow a live toad every morning, you know. Nothing worse will happen. But, you know, he did not live in the era of Trump, you know. Our cafe, I think, is serving up well here. I think Jeff Flake should have been here yesterday. Frankly,
it would have been fantastic for him to be on here with us.
I know. I think it could have. But I find that now we have four of them, right? Corker, him, McCain. Of course, Corker and Thing are not going to run, and McCain's going to die. Who's the fourth one? And George W. Bush. Yeah, we have to count him.
Ben Sasse.
Okay. He's from Nebraska, right? Is that right?
By the way, everybody, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. It's 6:30 a.m. almost here on October 25th. It's a Wednesday, everybody. And we thank you so much for listening to the Moose Turd Cafe with your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case. And a sometimes sidekick. They don't call him Vin Diesel because he's got hair. All right, everybody.
Mike Diesel, you know, thank you so much, man, for hanging out here with me in the morning in the cafe while we, you know, review the insanity that's beset us. Okay, all right. So now I have a data item to share with you. All right, that I found just a fairly stunning, to be truthful.
Breaking commentary from my older brother.
Okay, and what it is? It's about here. Let me see if I can get to the right.
John, may I read this real quick? It's a question.
Go ahead. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I gotta look up my thing here.
My breaking commentary from my older brother. Good morning, brother. It has just cemented the fact that I would rather kneel with the real than stand with the brand.
Ooh.
Well said.
That is. Wow, that's a nice rhyme. It rhymes, too. That's really good.
Yes. My older brother is wise.
Now,
is
he the one that's ill?
Here.
Is he the one that's ill?
Yes, that has been for quite some time, sure.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, you know, there's
his
nothing like...
His prognosis is, you know, actually not bad right now.
Well, I mean, you get into that territory as you get older and more sick that there's the thing called, how are you doing? Well, not bad. that's how I feel these days, you know. How you doing? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm still here.
Not too bad. Okay, so... what is just stunning is this guy named Barry Ritholtz. He does these, one of these great, he's an economist. Yeah, he writes an interesting blog, but he's really, what his gift is taking data and making it display in weird and interesting ways. And he found this unbelievable comparison of the education levels of workers in the United States and other developed countries in 1, 1950, and 2, 2010.
Interesting.
And let me just say that the U.S., has fallen behind. This is difficult actually to believe. Actually, in educated people, Russia, China, who's green? South Korea. I mean, the percentage, the share of workers that have higher education degrees, okay? And, you know, whereas in 2050, the United States was like, you know, if you asked, like, how many of the workforce has a complete college degree, I mean, even in the United States, it was like, you know, like 10% or 5%, something like that. And these other countries weren't even visible on the map, except for France. France always had a democratic education policy. But so, you know, it's just very interesting that the whole world is shifting. And I'll tell you another little thing that just, you know, is driving me nuts. I'm going to have to eat a sandwich here in a minute to get over it, is the fact that...
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll tell you when the toast is ready.
You know, just that, well, our president, you know, I mean, parades before the world as a complete jackass. You know, and the government appears incapable of doing, you know, even obvious things other than cutting the taxes of billionaires. You know, while China comes out with this, you know, apparently, you know, united leadership under this new, you know, heavyweight dude, who, when I read what he has to say, says kind of intelligent things. Okay, actually, I mean, what can I say?
They're blisteringly opposite of what we have.
Yes, I mean, that's going, it's like headed forward, and we're headed into the barn following a donkey.
Yeah, they're more willing now, more than ever, you know, as we entered into the past 20 years with China, they were pulling and pulling and pulling, and it's a, you know, there's some plutocrats there.
Yes, absolutely.
But they're more than willing to say, okay, we need to spend money. We need to invest in ourselves. We need to invest constantly in our infrastructure and maintain it at a very, very high level. And for that, we're going to need training. We're going to need educated people to come together and work on these projects because they're massive projects.
Yeah, it's just
amazing.
And
we are busy worrying about whether or not the fly shit in the soup. You know, we're inflamed over at best minuscule issues that that aren't really going to amount to anything. In other words, it's exactly like you said, the log jam is the log jam. But also, too, keep in mind, this has been a 40-year assault on our public education.
It has. You're right. No, I mean,
those numbers directly probably correlate with some of the areas that have been depleted. I mean, let's take one Department of Education secretary and look at her state in Michigan and the direct results of the privatization of schools.
Yeah.
This is what we talk about constantly on this podcast and others across the country, radio shows. There's not enough time in the world to talk about how just absolutely screwed the education system is, and for reasons, John.
Oh, yeah.
There has been a campaign to constantly pound teachers. Now, certainly, good-intentioned, hardworking teachers were, for quite some time, the backbone. And to constantly look at them as the enemy, I understand it when a parent is concerned and has some interest in what's being taught to their children in schools. I get that. But screaming and yelling and blaming a teacher for everything isn't the answer.
Well, I think... you know, if you talk to the people that are involved in education, I mean, they're being torn six ways from Sunday, you know, about and challenged to basically, you know, finance the kids' education out of their own pocket half the time.
Without a doubt. You don't have to tell me. My mother's a retired teacher.
Okay, right? So it's just, you know, and Okay, I mean, that's probably to be expected, but you know, there's always more you can do in education than you may have in a particular public budget at some time, you know. I mean, there's always, you know, you always see needs that are that you can't fully meet, right?
Well, I mean, I think also, but, too, when that degrades to a certain extent, John, we're talking about people who don't have the ability to think critically.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about massive amounts of people who don't think critically. They're not enhancing their intellect, and somehow or another, we've arrived at a point in our country where that's a bad thing.
Well,
where that's been can't get to highfalutin intellectual.
Oh, we perpetuate, you know, I mean, actual lies.
When I was
in high school in Virginia, you know, our Virginia history textbook omitted 1860 to 65.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't even mention Abraham Lincoln, except maybe, you know, once, you know, I mean, but ever, you know. So, I mean, that was like, you know, the American Lenin. You know, I don't know. Actually,
the wall of northern aggression.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we have these, you know, the Confederacy. You know, it remains a question as to whether or not there should have been a more aggressive suppression of the. But how do you do it? You know, how do you suppress something? You know, I mean, you have to. There has to be, the only point of suppressing it is to remove some kind of danger and then have some way to grow out of it, right? I mean, the problem.
But you know, things.
But still,
I mean, if people would have listened quite specifically to to Tesla and the energy pioneers to go a different direction other than them coming out and saying, look, you don't need to rip the ground apart in order to and rip the earth apart in order to feed energy. I think that direction would have been much better. People end up backing away from certain things. There's cause and effect to everything.
Well, I don't think in 1904, when the automobile was designed, you know, the internal combustion engine started to take
right.
over. That, you know, you, I don't
right.
think that,
no,
that technology
I
was not
I know,
there
I know,
then.
I know,
so.
I know. But I'm just making a simple point of massive energy. You know, it's kind of like, if you think about it, the cell phone was a cell phone. It was just a phone. Now it's a computer. It happens to be able to make calls.
Right, it's true.
But now it's hooked to the internet because we demand our technology advance.
We must have it. We must have this connectivity now. I mean, it's like we've.
My prayer.
Yes, the ring of power. Yes, I think you have it down, Gollum. Yes, Gollum, you understand. You understand the ring of power. Oh, yeah. You know, Gollum sounds a little bit like Kim Jong Un. I'm sorry, but.
The ring from Frodo.
No, you won't.
Nasty hobbitist. Nasty hobbitist.
You're going to end up in Mount Doom, dude.
You shall not pass!
You know, we need Gandalf now. You know, more than ever, a man with a staff that could perform a little, you know, jiu-jitsu magic.
He would not deny an old man his walking cane. Keep your tongue inside your mouth!
I don't know, man. It's getting worse and worse. You know, so but I had some other important news here I was going to share with you.
Here at the Moose Turd, here at the Moose Turd Cafe, news.
Now, here's an interesting thing. John McCain comes out and says, I support the Kurds.
Interesting.
This is a direct counter to what Trump is actually, or somebody in the Trump administration, is doing with the leadership in Iraq right now, which is to, you know, drive in and suppress the Kurds again.
Yep.
Very interesting situation. I think that Mr. McCain is getting ready to doing it all before his brain goes bonzo like it does with that cancer. I saw that, you know, that's the same thing that Senator Kennedy had, and and it's the same thing that our good friend Bill Chakravarti's had. You know, so
for anyone, it does not end well.
No.
Now, certainly there is the availability of some advanced, I guess, for lack of a better word, advanced treatments, but those still don't show.
It depends, you know, the certain kinds of the brain cancers, right. The way it spirals around, you know, you can't get at it. You know, you can't.
Right.
You know,
right. There's too many integral parts of the brain that it wouldn't.
Because every time you do radiation in the brain, I mean, you kill everything in line, okay? I mean, it's not just that one cell, right? So that.
Right. 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 They have to still try attempting to figure out how to fix that.
You're always trying to get an angle at it or a way so you can just try to get the cancer cell right and nothing and not kill too much else, you know, so.
Right. Right. But there is, you have an entire political party who is geared and set up for one thing. And one thing only. Let's not dance around the thing. They play with the social aspects of whatever this and that and inflame people for whatever they inflame them for to be upset about this, that, or the other thing. You know, you see it in the commercials currently running for governor of Virginia. You see, you know, Gillespie's campaign come out and say, you know, about MS-13 and blah, 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 and it's fear. It's fear and division. Fear and division, fear and division. And let's also say that Ed Gillespie would like to see abortion be illegal completely, full stop. So,
yeah.
So you know, that's a continuing social ploy, because the reality is what they want is tax cuts. That's all they ever talk about is tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. Let's look at the top corporations in America and how much they actually pay. This is the point that Nick Hanauer is making. This is the point that David K. Johnston is making. They don't pay what they're supposed to pay to begin with.
How about this?
So you think in your feeble little lizard brain out there that if you give these corporations an additional break, they're going to spend it on employees? That's hilarious.
Sure, it's the old the trickle down theory has been disproven. Actually, I mean, there's no data to support it. The guy that's the head of the Council of Economic Advisors that put out his model. It's interesting. I mean, it's just I was reading this morning a technical analysis of it. It's complete horseshit.
I put out my model, John.
Your model.
My model is made of Legos.
Yeah, okay, you have a Lego model.
It's a Lego.
Actually, model. You know, Lego modeling, as you know, probably is a very big deal. Actually, in artificial intelligence thing, it's.
It is.
It's a very big deal. Yeah.
Oh! I wanted to break some news. I don't know if you heard this coming out of China, actually.
Really?
A Chinese geneticist has bred a new pig.
Really?
And yes, and he has incorporated some DNA from, I believe, a mouse or a rat, I think. Because the problem is pigs can't regulate their body temperature. Well, now they can. They are leaner, there's less fat, and farmers don't have to keep the pigs warm. So there's already some significant applications for these pigs.
Wow. Did you know there's a...
They can regulate their body temperature. This is it. This is actually, as crazy as it sounds, this is actually a really big deal.
I mean, I can see there'll be a lot of applications. Sure, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's an old...
And it has been confirmed, unfortunately, for some of the pigs that the meat tastes the same.
However, it reminds me of a joke that I'm told by someone who was actually present, was a favorite of former Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev's, where he claimed that he had been... you know, trying to do something about corruption in certain kinds of, you know, plant operations and ministries and whatnot. And he had been touring a, you know, a sausage-making plant, you know, or an agriculture processing of pigs. And so, you know, and this guy, the manager, tried to tell Khrushchev that... they had a brand new machine where you just put the pig in one end and out the sausages come out the other.
Ah, interesting.
At which point Khrushchev says, yes, but what I'm interested in is a machine where you could put a sausage in one end and have a pig come out the other. At which point the plant manager says, oh, but Conrad, we'll be working on it. No, we already have one. And the plant manager said, what is it? What? Your mother. Now that supposedly was a favorite joke of Khrushchev.
So Khrushchev liked your mama jokes.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Shit, we got Soviet leaders playing the dozens.
I know. It could be like him and Timothy Leary. He could have been going around the world.
Yo. You know? Yo mama. She's so fat.
Anyway.
It's a bill in two different zip codes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could not compete with those type of jokes. But seeing that up close and personal, and seeing guys go around and nail those jokes, just it was for me. Just I couldn't stop laughing.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah.
You know,
anyway,
it was, you know, everything from, you know, peg leg to mustache to, you
know. Right. Anyway, so, I mean, you know, science advances, the wisdom of the ages stays about the same, I guess, you know, something like that.
It's just fascinating. I mean, that's the other thing we talked a long time ago when we were on that previous radio broadcast over at the college. We remember the discovery of the old, everyone was so excited about discovering this old book that had been buried, and they worked on the translation because it was in Aramaic.
And oh, yeah.
They had worked on the translation, and they discovered it was a joke book.
Oh, wow.
Everyone's like, oh, we can't wait for the meeting of these people and what it held.
Maybe there's a... Maybe formidable. Jesus wrote it.
And then it was like, yo, mama's so fat.
Oh, my God.
How the hell... What?
Well, you know, it's one of the terrible things that happens from the fact that civilizations, when they actually fall, you know, nothing much is left behind but rubble. You know, it's too bad. You lose a lot of what you'd like to know. You know, we lose a lot of history.
The actual heart and soul, the documentation and communication is lost.
I think there's a risk of that with the...
Interesting aspect of technology is it's, you know, it is almost born of the same fruit of futility.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a high risk, you're going to lose it all.
You have this advancing technology that you need and want, yet it makes very much other things almost completely unnecessary. You know, as we've seen in the last 25 years, you know, you had Betamax, you had VHS, gone. You have digital replacing everything, and then you had DVD, gone. gone because we can send you a file with a movie on it through the internet. So as these applications, you know, you see these. I mean, remember Blockbuster? It's gone.
Oh sure, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't completely. Exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember going to Errol's.
Are there any video stores still open? I mean, really? I mean, there are some places where you can get them out of machines, get DVDs out of machines.
I have some quality videos downstairs of some of my previous performances.
Oh, you do?
Commercials, but yeah. I have to transfer them. You know, I did a long time ago, I did a couple of stints for the Department of Education as an actor.
Oh, and, on one of their films, you mean, that they put out?
Yeah, a couple of their instructional videos, which was a lot of fun. Right. I got a chance to play a dad, you know, a wrong way and a right way to handle a kid's bad grade. You know, how to talk to your child about, you know, and actually the kid I was in that was now in Hollywood.
You know, I'd like to be a...
I see him on TV all the time, and I'm like, hey, hook a brother up.
I'd like to be a guest on the Laura Ingraham program.
I don't want to be. I would ask that you not mention that name on the air.
Oh. Another...
Hey, hold on. Whoa, wait a second.
Right. Oh, God. Hey, man.
Hey, listen. Hey, John.
Okay,
Listen, my friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, I'm listening.
All I'm saying is, if you're going to that show, you got to let me know, all right?
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure me and Tony Tutos is going to have to drive you over there, all right?
No, I got...
Oh, wow, man. He just came in and left, just like that.
I wanted to...
He never introduces himself. He never says his name. He just...
I want to see if she... You know, I would probably spend my entire interview with her asking her if she wanted to date me. You know?
Well, that's kind of creepy, John, because you're already spoken for, so...
I know, but I feel that, you know, there's something so sordid about her entire career and stuff, that there's only one way that, you know, from an effective communication is to really provide a topical metaphor for what's really going on in front of you on the TV.
She needs it. She wants it. She wants a press.
You know. You know, like, you know, you want it. You, now, this is all, I mean, this is unbelievable. If you know that this woman is a whore for the billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you want to say. Oh, but, I mean, you know, what's wrong with whores? You know, I mean, so there you go.
Hold on.
Everybody's a whore.
Hold on a second, Mr. King.
Oh, wait a minute. Except Kim Jong-un. Ooh.
Why you say that about Laura? She's a nice lady. I don't understand.
Oh,
why,
man.
You say this about my friend Laura?
I like
why
her toes. Because I like her toes. I don't want her toes in my face. I want her toes.
She was instrumental in helping develop my weather machine.
Oh, my God. Laura Ingraham developed your weather machine? That's...
I don't get that either.
Whoa. Yeah, so, the weather machine. This is because...
I don't know what that was. I don't know where it came from.
Let's take the theory that the hurricanes are caused by homosexuality. Okay, for a second.
Wow!
So
I almost threw my phone across. What the hell?
It's almost like a moose turned pie slice right there.
I mean, the moose turds just started flying out of the back, man. What? The moose turds grew their own legs and walked away. What are you?
I'm just saying that if we we could detect
a
clustering.
What are you, Louis Gohmert? Texas? What the hell?
Just imagining the data. You know, the clustering of homosexuality somehow, you know, on a map, and then a hurricane developing. And Yep. And then how would you weaponize that knowledge? Okay. Suppose you wanted to destroy China with a hurricane. Now you would have to be following this wonderful logic, you know. You would have have a clustering of homosexuality to drive the hurricane.
You're particularly aggressive this morning, Mr. Case.
I'm sorry.
Your angles all have your conversation all has
signs of erosion.
Doom in it. Doom. Lots of doom.
Yes, of course.
Hey, you don't have to play the game, Doom. You can just come out of the Booster Cafe.
Hey, guess what? Winter is coming.
Oh, all I hear is, I don't know if you are familiar with Dune, the actual books and the movie.
Oh, yeah, Talia. Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talia, his sister, who was born more powerful than all the other.
Yeah, I know, right.
Princesses. All I can ever hear is this in her voice from the movie directed towards the current administration. Robert Mueller is coming.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that was like Muad'Dib, right? Muad'Dib.
Baron, my brother is coming.
Muad'Dib, because her mother, Jessica, had...
Yeah, and the high priestess was like, wretched child, get out of my mind!
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yes. I was disappointed in that film when it came out. You know, I don't know why.
You weren't the only one.
But, you know, I, how are you going to put the whole thing? You know, I mean, you really needed some of the modern CGI stuff you can do to be able to make
friend,
this.
My friend Carl used to call him Baron Vladimir von Haagen-Dazs instead of Harkonnen.
Well, Sting was great. I thought he played the young Harkonnen. I thought he did pretty well. Yeah.
And then I would send lovely Fade Rabon. I want you to squeeze and squeeze.
Yeah. But you know, hey, what the hell? It was an effort. It was an effort, and
they attempted to make it very difficult.
I mean, Frank Herbert. I remember he came. He had a lecture he did at San Jose State when I was living out there, and we, my friend Robert Garcia and I, we went to hear him. You know, to talk about. It.
Well, they remade
funny.
They remade the movie. They remade the movie for Sci-Fi a while ago. And still,
oh, really? I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's still kind of it got ripped. You know, still I think it was made into like a epic miniseries, and I paid a little bit of attention to it, but still it wasn't a big deal. I don't think you can do that. Yeah, somebody with the creative vision and ability of, like, I think Wingnut, or I should say Peter Jackson, Wingnut Films, I think, who brought Lord of the Rings to life for a lot of people. Even though in the story, you know, certainly there was some liberties taken. My wife is she's really got all of the appendices and everything else in her mind.
On the Silmarillion and the whole thing,
the entire thing, and she can tell you where the story departs from the book.
Oh, sure, yeah, I remember, yeah.
You can, you know, but it also, as Peter Jackson would say, we have to make a movie. You know, so you're not going to, if you tell these stories that are the backstories here and there, you're going to wind up with 25 different movies.
Yeah, no, you're right. Know, I mean, a film...
has to flow. There has to be a flow. There has to be a, you know, a cause and effect. It has to be move along, and all the characters it has to build. There has to be an A, B, and C story. There, you know, it has to... You know, there has to be cause and effect. So, you know, there has to be a protagonist. There has to be an antagonist. There has to be multiples of them. And those storylines that move that movie along. And I think someone like, for example, I think uh, some someone had told me a while ago, and I don't know if this is still true. I know that we're trying to put together a movie, a new Highlander.
And oh, really?
Peter Jackson now owns the rights to Highlander.
Oh, he does.
And he was attempting. I think there was a deal made and then pulled, from what I read. And sometimes I read these things and I don't know if they're complete bullshit. It's like reading, you know,
gossip columns about what's business.
Well, somebody
deals.
Said that Ryan Reynolds had signed on to play the Highlander. And which I think is fine. I don't have a problem with him playing the Highlander. That's great. I don't know who's going to play Ramirez. I don't know who's going to play Sean Connery's character.
Yeah.
But
maybe Sean Connery.
Dave Bautista, the former professional wrestler from Washington D.C., has actually signed on to play the Kurgan, and is still signed on to play the Kurgan.
Mm.
You know, to play Clancy Brown.
No, role, yeah.
Which I think Dave could certainly play that role quite well. Right? Yeah, he is certainly adept physically, and as someone who has seen him up close and personal, he's a very intimidating fellow.
So you think that would come across on film?
Very large yeah. Human.
You think that would come across on film, though? Pretty
doesn't really smile a lot. Although his body of work, he was just in the new Blade Runner, for which he got a lot of kudos for. He's in the he plays a character in the what is it? The Marvel. The Guardians of the Galaxy. He plays an alien, and he has gotten rave reviews for playing that alien. You know, he plays it extremely. I mean, it's not. I mean, he's still humanoid, but he has some of the best, most humorous lines because he's this big macho alien who laughs about really inappropriate stuff.
Well,
it's a great role for him. I mean, it's a role of a lifetime, and you know, there was some. I think he was one of only two, or maybe three professional wrestlers that left wrestling completely on national television. That he, you know, he was supposed to come back and wrestle as this character in a different storyline, and he said on his way out, he was exiting, and they didn't, the tape was rolling. There's nothing you could do when you're doing that kind of show, and he said, I'm done. I'm out. See ya. And he's never been back. So for that, I say kudos to you, Dave Bautista. He had enough of the wrestling nonsense. He was on his way to bigger and better things, which I think is interesting. You know, I think at one point Hulk Hogan did that, and I believe Dwayne Johnson did that. The Rock,
right? Well, The Rock is. I like The Rock.
He was supposed to show up for a pay-per-view thing, and there was some trouble with the negotiating, and there was some trouble with the money. And he said, you guys have done this three or four other times to me. I'm not doing this. I told you, I'm not doing it. And he didn't show up. Now, he disappointed a lot of wrestling fans, but certainly it didn't hurt his career.
No, he's very active too. An interesting guy.
Oh my goodness, that guy. There's a new Jumanji coming out with him in it and Kevin Hart, and they're both in a new Jumanji film. But they also have Jack Black is in it.
Oh, okay.
Like when they get thrown into Jumanji, he originally in this plane of his existence is a female. Oh no, he's an Uber geek, I think.
He's an Uber geek.
Yeah, and then he gets pushed into the world of Jumanji and becomes this massive heavy. And Jack Black actually is a female who becomes a male in Jumanji. It looks really well done. It looks very funny. I saw some clips from it and I was like, yeah, that's good work. You know, I like anything that's just a little bit different. So coming out. So, and I like Hart. I like the thing I like that people don't realize about Kevin Hart is, you know, he's a stand-up comic, but he's also a fitness guy. You know, he's a runner. I mean, he's a marathon runner. He's in great shape. He keeps himself in phenomenal shape, and
yeah.
He actually has come back. He has this, I don't know if it's on Netflix or Amazon, but he has a series where he goes to, I told you about this, he goes to various towns and checks out and interviews the younger up-and-coming comics. He was in D.C. talking to a couple of guys I know. Rob Mayer was one of them. And Rob Mayer, I remember Rob Mayer coming to our open mic and going up on stage and just screaming and yelling at everyone for 5 minutes until he kind of honed his craft and became a really devastatingly funny comic. Very occasionally, Rob at times would be considered misogynistic. I think that's safe to say, but that's not necessarily what he's doing now. I mean, he's just a really smart guy on stage. He brings up some really good points, and sometimes he's a little bit frat boyish. But I like his stuff. He's very funny. Yeah. Him, and then I think there was another young man. Oh, yeah! I remember this one kid came. He did nothing but impressions, and his mother and father brought him. And I think he lived in Fredericksburg. His last name is Wright. I can't remember his first name. I don't want to screw it up. But his parents brought him. And his dad asked me if it was okay if he went on stage. And I think he was 16 at the time, or 15. And I said, sure, as long as it's okay with you. You know, there's a lot of adult language here. He's like, ah, we're not worried about that. And he actually was really talented. So, you know, oh, God, I'm going down memory lane. I got to stop.
Hey, there's a guy that's been appointed by Betsy DeVos to...
to kill teachers?
Well, he's a libertarian, guy named Hans Bader.
Oh,
Hans Bader.
that's directly out of Ian Fleming. That is.
It is.
Hans Bader, I shall destroy you, 007.
Well, it's like this, you know. And he's one of these guys that really thinks that college should be left to the haves.
Yeah.
You know, send a stupid person to college and you get a stupid liberal as a result, quote unquote.
Sure.
You know, he's big on climate change denial. You know.
Wow.
And because he says, the policies advocated by climate change activists have real world costs and may not be politically viable.
Right, of course.
Especially to the owners of Exxon.
Well, yeah.
Yes, I would say that's unquestionably
Chevron,
true.
Chevron, Exxon.
Come on, man.
Extraction.
Well, yeah, there you go. There you go.
I want you to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze.
The earth is a pimple.
Yes. Thank you, Baron Vladimir Haagen-Dazs.
Oh boy, you know, I was filling up the pepper shakers here in the cafe, and I noticed that the box of pepper was actually a box of tick heads.
Now, Mr. Case, you've discovered my secret.
I wondered how it happened.
In order to get the blood of the deer into the moose herd, you use the ground up chicken.
She's okay. Yes, Dr. Lecter.
Again, we say, after listening to this program, there's no place to go.
There's no place to go.
Upward and onward, folks.
What outrage will take place today? We don't know.
We have no idea.
It could be, you know, the hurricane that hit Ireland may come back our way. Who the hell knows? We don't know. Winter is coming. And we don't even know what that's going to bring. It's chaotic. It's chaotic.
We do know that we are in a another from some of the weather indications. We are, oh, you know, and interestingly enough, everyone seems to have trouble with fake news and facts, but everyone kind of gets together on the weather report, don't they? All right. Okay, let's move that along. Anyway, you know, you have these climate change deniers, and then they're like, what? What's the weather forecast? Ooh,
yeah.
They better dress warm. Well, you just listened to scientific fact, didn't you? Well, that doesn't mean I agree with...
Yeah, science is just a bunch of liberals. Yeah, a bunch of liberals. Right. Liberal agenda. Right. Liberal agenda. Right.
Liberal.
You know, you...
And interestingly enough, we are in a perfect climate for a derecho, a winter derecho.
Well, it depends on where it's aimed.
Which could hit. 16. Which could have a concentrated storm that hits the East Coast at you know
various angles.
In terms
you know,
of over you know the course of these bursts.
Yeah.
These
so yeah. Right. I know. I mean, it's going to be
over 2 or 3 days. You have you know you'll have snowfall in record numbers,
and then it'll be just, like July on Christmas, and
right,
then you have
right.
20
then
feet of snow.
Into, yeah, and then it'll turn into like a 75 degree day in December.
Yeah, we're going to be. It's like, I mean, what would the Indians have done? I don't know.
Well, I'm certain they wouldn't have done half of the shit that we did. I can tell you that. And they probably would have been a little bit less stupid and less profit-oriented.
Well, they would never have run out of deer, so, you know.
No.
Not around here, anyway, but...
No, they would have... And as we've seen historically, the majority of tribes have a great deal of respect for the earth and things that grow. Things that grow in the earth and things that grow on the earth. I mean, look at the revelations that people have had from reintroducing a large wolf population back into some of the cultural areas where they're originally from. How the ecosystem rebalanced itself just by that simple application. Now... And now we have loosened the restrictions for everything. You know, the price of, by the way, the price of everything is going up. Produce, meat, whatever.
Yeah, I noticed the meat's going up. We went out to cook for some relatives that came down. I made a double beef stew.
You had relatives come to your new place?
Yes, I had relatives. Yes, we had.
Were they impressed with the cafe in the back?
Yes, because the Carol dressed it up with skeletons at the little table inside and red lights. So yeah, it was fun. Anyway, I made a double beef stew. You know, but I noticed just going to get the chuck roast, you know, that it was like, it was up there in price.
I couldn't afford a real good cut of steak for my wife's birthday. I had to buy kind of a cheaper steak, which was fine. I mean, we don't eat steak hardly at all. It's just, you know, birthday's a special time. And I wanted to, excuse me, make sure my wife had a nice birthday.
Well, okay. I mean, as...
But beef stew sounds... I would imagine you...
Here at the end of all things, yes, sure.
Yeah, you make a pretty mean beef stew, I would imagine. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we're here at the end of all things, and there will be no eagles coming to save us.
Yeah.
We are on the rock. Lava is all around us from Mount Doom.
That's right. On the beach.
We can take solace in the fact that the Ring of Power is now melted into Mount Doom. And,
the age of...
Sauron is... I don't know if he's dead, but he's not around right now.
Middle Earth is over.
Yes, he is. He's been reincarnated in the form of Anthrop.
That'd be interesting if it turned out that... you know, Trump was the a manifestation of one of these alternate universe, you know, kick-ins that inserted itself a la you know, what's that great Roger's the last name? Remember his characters? And, Philip Jose Farmer. They had these mythologies of alternate worlds, you know, in which you could go, come in and out of the so-called modern world and then go into other ones that were organized differently. And
right. Well, think right now, John. We have somebody running for Senate in Arizona that says she has been abducted by Jesus aliens.
And I believe that that's true. You know, I'll testify that's true. And then, you know, we inspected her and she's now, however, I got to tell you, there's been a modification in her genetic, you know, composition, and she's now a part insect.
As soon as she...
That's what Jesus did to her.
As soon as she jumps from the podium to someone's windshield. I'm certain there's going to be some ramifications.
I mean, this is like the mistake they made in Jurassic Park by, you know, mixing with frogs. Okay?
Life will find a way.
You know, Jesus has also the tools to do this, right? And he, you know, he flipped a switch. And, you know, when she's really part cockroach now. Welcome to the Moose Turd Cafe.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, man. Well.
Step on up to the bar, have yourself some coffee and some fresh fried moose turd, everybody. It goes well with everything. Cereal, sausage, eggs, toast, doesn't matter.
Oh, boy.
You can have it on the side, you can have it as a main dish, it can be sweet, it can be savory, you can do it all, everybody. That's all it says.
Oh, it's ready to roll. It's always ready to roll. Hey, so let me see if we can, if we have covered the news.
Well, I mean, I think that's where some of our responsibility here, but I don't think that we take any of it very seriously.
No, I mean, we're cherry picking, clearly. Okay.
Sure. We're a lot like Christians who selectively are Christian a la carte.
Here's something that you're going to need a slice of pie to consume, okay, if you're a consumer. Vice President Pence cast a tie-breaking vote late Tuesday to block new regulations allowing U.S. consumers to sue their banks, handing Wall Street and other big financial institutions their biggest victory since President Trump's election. The rules would have cost the industry billions of dollars, according to some estimates. With the Senate's vote, Wall Street is beginning to reap the benefits of the Trump administration focus on rolling back regulations it says are strangling the economy. The vote is a major rebuke of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which wrote the rules and which often found itself at odds with Republicans in Congress. Anyway, at issue is the fine print in many of the agreements that consumers sign when they apply for credit cards or bank agreements. These agreements typically require them to settle any disputes they have with the company through arbitration, in which a third party rules on the matter rather than going to court or joining a class action lawsuit. So you lose your right to sue.
I will not acquire any credit cards. In fact, I'm looking forward to the day where I'm holding cash only. I am tired of this scam.
And yeah, I mean, this is like a financial dictatorship, you know. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, you shall pay interest whether you want to or not.
Right. They're going to, and they, you know, I mean, you saw this coming when they started to pull the rules about money managers, you know, not being held accountable for investing, you know, large amounts of money in people's retirements. They changed those rules too, so. But they had them changed back to where, okay, you have to take some responsibility. Well, not anymore. So.
Oh, my God. You know, it's
here, just, it's $20, John. Trust me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yes. It's a new fresh horror of the day. And,
you know, yeah, it's. It's the first sad thing. It's very sad.
Vice President, I wonder if Vice President Pence made that decision while he was in a very large closet.
You know, Bertolt Brecht once said, what is the robbing of banks compared
to the funding?
To the founding of a bank.
Founding of a bank, yeah.
And, you know, in terms of how much, who's stealing the most money? I mean, that was one of those, I mean.
Oh, you and your ethics and morality and and helping working people, you. You're just so naive.
I know. It's the old Bolshevik in me that just can't, keeps wanting to come out.
No, that's There's a pattern of ugliness in this entire thing that's constant, and it will grab you and drive you out of your freaking mind.
Yeah.
And so I would suggest you find something in your life to do that's positive.
Right. Like,
there's not a whole lot of positive out there.
If you can't do anything else, you should go out and purchase one of those bones that dogs chew on, and you should chew on it.
Well, I can't because I don't have teeth.
Yeah, well, that's true. Okay, but then maybe I know. See, then you're
well. The
thing is,
I guess we could recommend boiling it to soften it up, right?
Yeah, right.
Can you boil it down and soften it up, maybe?
Boil it down the bone.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Heat it up, boil it. You know.
So make it crunchier or something like that, or I don't know.
Get to the bone marrow faster.
Ah, the bone marrow, right? Okay, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think you'd have to have, you know, the teeth of, you know, like a wolf or something. I think the wolves have back jaws that can crack bones. Have you got a wolf available?
This show, this podcast, I'm hoping you don't even put up. I'm hoping you don't even post this one.
Why?
I really am. I am. I'm just, for some reason, I just don't think it's necessary. We have gone so far off the rails here that I don't think we recognize our own moose turds.
Okay. Well, it could be. Maybe it's time to bring this
in. No, I'm kidding. I just...
We have about, I don't know, 10 minutes.
Hold on.
Governor Justice! Governor Justice!
Oh, man. Tell you what, I done did it!
You have been done did. You're a big spot.
I come in here sometimes talk to you. I don't even know why.
I don't either.
My chief of staff tell me I shouldn't come on the air and talk with you.
Well, your chief, you know, sorry.
Silly show.
You were, yeah, it's very silly. It features.
Hold on.
You're not going to die on us again, are you?
I gotta get up this one step.
Oh God.
Roll my leg.
Lord, help us. No.
It was the left leg yesterday. I got the gout today. It's the right leg.
Hold on. What about the third leg?
You don't want to talk about that.
That appears to be the end of Governor Jim Justice.
Gosh, Governor, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah. I know. Well, the state of West Virginia is would be hit particularly hard, it turns out, by the federal tax cuts that...
There's no doubt. You have South Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, even parts of Texas, Florida. Everybody's going to get ramrodded by this. I mean, there's going to be people who are... I was talking with my younger brother, and structurally, what they want to do is have him and his wife pay for everything. they don't, you know, again, they're loosening regulations, cutting taxes, so rich people don't have to do anything. Don't have to, there's no sacrifice for them. There's no skin in the game for them. They don't care. They just don't give a shit.
You know, the former international representative of the United Electrical Workers used to run shop steward class, and he was asked one time by the, to try to explain banking, you know, to the stewards that were present, and so he, what he did was, his name was Don Tormey. So Don did was, he said, well, a bank is a place that will store your money for the high rate of 2% and loan it back to you at the low rate of 18.
And it has not stopped.
And therein, sure. Therein lies the.
We're going to hang on and give you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give you a little bit. Okay. So understand how this works. We're going to give you a little bit. But listen, if you need any, we're going to go ahead and charge you, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You're in a lot of trouble, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, well, so that's...
Hey, everybody, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour here at the Booster Cafe with your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case. And it's sometimes I get occasionally known as, I don't know, Mike something, everybody.
Mike Diesel. And
it's October 25th. And by the way, it's Wednesday, and I hope you enjoyed your Wednesday out there.
Yeah, well, we've been on. We're at an hour. We're at the hour, man. I think we can roll this tape. Actually, now you know
we can safely move on.
Yeah, I think
with
so.
The rest of our day, sir.
Yeah, yes. And I think we've given people some bad things to chew on here, and
what I would say.
Yes, Dr. Lecter.
Cases, when cooking moose turds, ensure that they are darkened by the time you get ready to consume.
Okay, well, that creepy.
Whoa! All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Take care. Thanks, bye. Man. Yeah. Bye-bye.